Again I say, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, we've all heard the false accusations made against the true Roman Catholic faith. I mean that religion is, they say, the cause of war. Well, in reality, it is not. It is man's rebellious will against God's order that starts war. They say that religion hampers our freedom, but it does not. It leads to the liberty of the sons of God if we are submitted to the will of God. And what is this freedom that they want to have anyway? It's freedom from God's rule. And if you're not under his rule, you're not part of his kingdom. They say that religion is filled with a bunch of thou shalt nots. And there it is true, there are many thou shalt not part of our religion. But as to the rest of it and how people see it so negatively, that's all in their own personal outlook. It's a faulty one at that. But then there are some accusations that people in the world do have against Catholics, not against the church herself, but the members of the church, that are true. Not for all, but for some. They say above all things that, oh, you Catholics, you're always gloomy and sour-faced and all of the rest. And for some of us, we have to admit, it's rather true, isn't it? But our accusers then make the false conclusion that it is our religion, our faith, that causes us to be sadness. So why not just put it all aside? Well, the practice of our faith is and always will be, if we look at it correctly and if we practice it properly, the greatest source of joy to all of us, never a source of sadness. It gives us all the principles to avoid sadness. So today on Gaudete Sunday, or Rejoicing Sunday, I want to talk to you about sadness and joy, and how they apply to the spiritual life and the effect that they have. Sadness is a passion, like anger or anything like that. Sadness is the passion that emerges at a present evil that we have here and now, something that is evil, a toothache. We become saddened over it, or a headache. Any of those evils that we have, we become sad about. That is sadness, and it is a passion. And St. Francis de Sales says that sadness can be good or it can be bad. It's good, for instance, when we're sad or sorrowful over sin, because that type of sadness leads to repentance and mercy. But the bad sadness, there are six effects, negative effects of a bad sadness. That is anxiety or worry. It leads to indolence or the desire to just do nothing. It leads to anger and jealousy, envy, and finally, impatience. And it's for that reason, because of all the negative effects of sadness, that Sacred Scripture says, sadness hath killed many, and there is no profit in it. And you've heard the proverb, the devil likes to fish in troubled waters. It's one of the truest statements that you'll ever hear. Sadness and discouragement are two of Satan's most used tools to bring a soul down from the service of God and to make him give up his faith. That is one of his most used tools, something never to forget. And just as he seeks to make sinners delight in their sins, so he seeks to make the good people who want to be virtuous, he seeks to make good works and the practice of virtue very hard for the good. In other words, just as he leads sinners to commit evil by making the evil seem agreeable, so he can only get the virtuous to give up his good works by making those same good works seem disagreeable. And Satan delights in our sadness because he himself, always remember, is sad and will be so for all eternity. Now, where does sadness come from? Well, it does come from the devil at times. It comes as a result of our committing of sins. Who in here hasn't discovered on his own the truth of what St. Augustine said? Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in thee. For whenever we commit a sin, our hearts are no longer resting in the Lord, and we lose all peace. Our own hearts are restless. But sadness also comes from a predisposition to it. Some people are just that way by nature. They tend to see only the serious side of any affair or any circumstance. They become sorrowful and sad. What are the effects? St. Francis de Sales again. He gives us a long list of the effects of sadness on the soul, and they are terrible. He says that sadness disturbs the peace of heart, the peace of the soul, and disquiets the soul. It arouses vain fears, he says. And that, by the way, is why when you're sad or depressed, you should never make a big decision, because sadness arouses vain fears. You don't want to make a decision based on vain fears, because it will always be wrong. Sadness causes a loss of love for prayer. And again, here's where so many people, otherwise good Catholics, do badly. They become discouraged or sad, and they turn away from prayer to find their joy somewhere else. Not necessarily in sin, but in some recreation, what have you, when prayer is what they need the most. Sadness makes the intellect, we might say, drowsy and incapable of thinking clearly. It deprives the soul of wisdom, which is the ability to see things as they are and to know what is the most perfect course of action. Sadness, or the person who is sad, lacks resolution, prefers to sit and do nothing. The sad person has no good judgment and certainly no fortitude or courage as long as he is in that state. In short, sadness renders us powerless in the pursuit of good, that is, in the pursuit of virtue. That is what sadness does. And this state of the soul is one that we must always be most careful to avoid. So, what are the remedies? This is important to remember. All of us get sad. Some of us live, at least are inclined, to that perpetual state of sadness or melancholy. Is any among you sad, St. James says in one of his epistles, then let him pray. He says prayer is the sovereign remedy to sadness, for it raises the soul to God, who is our only joy and consolation. And then St. Francis de Sales, he's always good for practical advice. He says that when we pray in times of sadness, that we should use our emotions in our favor. Our emotions and our words, how we address God, ought to conduce or lead to trust and love of God. And so he says, he gives examples, when we address God in times of sadness, why not refer to him as merciful and good God, or my loving Father, O God of my heart, my sweet Savior. Anything that lifts the soul from sadness to trust in the love of God. The second remedy is to check the inclination to sadness. In other words, although you might seem to do everything, your duties, your prayers, and everything else, sadly and coldly, without any feelings of devotion, you go on all the same. You trudge down that path until you come to the end of the road. And this perseverance makes all that we do and all of our prayers more meritorious and efficacious. And St. Francis recommends spiritual songs. I found that part fascinating. To sing. How often you see someone going down the street whistling or singing, what's the first thing you think? Well, there goes a happy person today. And that is what you think. And singing, it brings joy to the heart. In fact, you remember the story of King David and Saul? Saul was persecuting King David and was going to kill him. And on one day, he actually had his plan and everything. It was all ready. And King David, it says, began to play the harp. And it said that the spirit of evil, spirit of sadness, left the heart of Saul because he was playing on the harp. Music does that. It's a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Also, a remedy is to keep yourself actively employed, be it with housework or schoolwork, whatever it is. But personally, my recommendation is when you're sad, you focus on someone else's problems. Because sadness is focusing too much on your own. Being a little bit self-centered, and your problems are so terrible. But once you start focusing on someone else, then it brings you out of yourself, and you'll find great joy in that. Why not do the works of mercy, visiting the sick, visiting somebody, an elderly person in a nursing home, or your next door neighbor who is all alone and feels it too. Another remedy is, according to St. Francis de Sales, to make use of external devotions. Even though you experience no feelings of devotions, he recommends simple things. The kissing of your crucifix, the embracing of the crucifix to your heart. See, all of those things, to many people, might seem a little bit sappy or sentimental, but there's something to them. Devotion is not only internal, but external as well. And those things, the kissing of a crucifix, lead to devotion. And that's what we want out of this. And he says, lastly, as a remedy for sadness, to talk. People who become sad, most of the time they clam up. They keep it all inside until they can't take it anymore. Talk. It's okay. It's okay to talk to a friend. It's okay to talk to a spouse. It's okay and recommended to talk to your confessor. And spend time with devout people. Because reflect, this is a truth worth remembering. Sadness is usually permitted by God just before he is about to give you a great grace. Because he wants you to be detached. He wants you to be humbled before he gives you a grace. So when you're sad, keep that in mind too. I'll conclude with a little part on joy though too. We've talked about sadness, but now joy. Because our religion should be one of joy, spiritual joy. God wants it no other way. Look at all of Scripture. Count how many times you find the word joy. In the Psalms, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Again in the Psalms, serve ye the Lord with gladness. And St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you read the lives of the saints, they're all filled with this happiness and joy. St. Philip Neri, if you ever want to read a book about a funny saint, humorous, and who used all of his humor to bring souls to Christ, I recommend him. So many funny stories and the like. He says, a heart filled with joy is more easily made perfect than one that is sad. And Padre Pio, not yet a saint, but certainly a very, very holy man, he says, serve the Lord with laughter. With laughter. What an interesting thought. How do we get joy? These are four very quick points. Don't worry, it won't be much longer. But the way to get it is to lead a holy life. Sinners will never have joy because their hearts will always be restless. Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in Thee. But if we keep a pure conscience, what joy we'll always have. Whatever our sufferings are the rest of the time, will always have that perfect joy. Secondly, the practice of humility and meekness. You see, when we're so self-centered that everyone else has to revolve around us, and then we see that they don't think the same way we do, we become sad, we become depressed, we become angered. The practice of humility, self-forgetfulness, leads ultimately to joy. It leads ultimately to joy. Thirdly, resignation to the divine will in all things. As St. Therese always said, confidence, it's the hand of Jesus that guides all things, whether sickness or old age or bad weather, whatever it is, it's all arranged perfectly by God. And if we always keep that in mind, what is there to be sad about? God is in charge of all things. And finally, mortification and self-denial. Get rid of all those things, those evil inclinations in your soul that cause sadness, all those inordinate attachments, all those sins that we commit that make us sad. Get rid of them by mortification. So what's our resolution now to conclude for this week and the rest of Advent, the rest of our life, really? But let's take it just for this week, Gaudete week. It is to fight valiantly against sadness. Pay attention to yourselves this week. How many times you are inclined to be sad about this, that, or the other thing. Fight valiantly against it and focus on doing all of your work and all of your prayers cheerfully. You might not feel it right away. Maybe put on a sweet smile when you don't want to. That can change your whole attitude. But work on cultivating joy. And remember, finally, these two thoughts you can keep right up here in your mind. What St. Paul said to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And what Padre Pio said, finally, serve the Lord in laughter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.